This your boy Stadium Status, a.k.a. the Holy Ghost.
This your man Swasso.
He is I and I am him. We celebrating everything nightlife, from parties to personalities.
You are now tuned in to Ghost Lab Radio.
Yo, this is episode number 4
yes.
of Ghost Lab Radio.
Yes.
Recording live from CP5 Studios, downtown Jersey City. Shout out to Chick P.
Yep, CP5.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ciroc Mango.
Oh yeah, Jameson, man.
Jameson.
Yeah, that's that sponsor. No, we didn't really drink
Shout
those.
Out to Jameson.
Yeah, that was just for the gram, but the
We're
Jameson.
We're here with. We haven't interviewed any DJs yet.
Brenmar.
Brenmar.
Yeah. We did the Brenmar. Yeah. But we're gonna dive in like on some real DJ shit tonight. You know. Yeah.
You're taking me to the spots. Where,
oh yeah. So we're gonna get into that. Yo, Get Live is one of my favorite DJs, so I'm super excited for this.
Well, obviously, we already let out the fact that you're a DJ, but tell us more about yourself, man. How'd you start in this game?
How did I start in this?
Yeah, the origin of Get Live.
The origin. I think it started first back in Queens, obviously, Queens, New York City. The name came from actually me playing basketball.
You're a baller.
I was a baller.
Okay.
Back then, like, you know, I'm talking about, man, I don't even want to say because I'm going to show my age. But I might show my age on this. So Get Live was my first AOL screen name.
Mm. Okay. Oh, shit, yeah.
And then I met this dude, Fat Fingers, who's from around my way.
Okay.
Shout out to Fat Fingers.
The DJ.
Yep.
You know, my girlfriend at the time had met him somehow through like mutual friends and was like, yo, you need to meet my boyfriend. He's a DJ or whatever. I was young at the time, like mad young.
Yeah.
We're talking like 15, 16?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, all right. 15, 16. So I met him. And then he was like, yo, let's session, you know, show me what you could do on the turntable. So I was like, all right. So we go to his crib, you know, got the whole setup and shit.
Yeah.
Shit's bugged out. His whole, like, setup, his DJ setup was there, records everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, fairly new to this shit, probably a year in.
Okay.
So I met this dude, and then... we're sessioning, and he's like, yo, show me what you could do. He's like picking my brain on shit. And he was like, all right, whatever. So he kind of took me under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, he was doing mad parties in the city already.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, I want to fucking DJ in the clubs already. I didn't care how old I was. I wanted to, because at the time, I was watching mad DMC videos.
Yeah.
And A-Track was the champion.
Nice.
So I was like, yeah, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, he was like 13 at the time.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do that, but be in the clubs. I want to be the young, like, kid in the club.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, tearing it up and getting that recognition.
So comes like 19, damn, I'm about to say my age again. All right, I'll just say the year. 99.
Okay. All right. You could have just said how old you were.
Yeah, 99, right?
No doubt.
So I'm talking about this is old New York.
All right.
So I've seen the whole shit transform. So I do my first club, which is Club Speed.
All right.
It was Thanksgiving Eve. First of all, he was like, yo, what are you going to use for your DJ name? For the flyer, I was like, damn, I don't even know. He was just like, yo, why don't you use Get Live? Because that was my AOL screen name.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, whatever. I guess. It's like, fuck it. Like, I didn't really think much of it. And
yeah.
I guess eventually I kind of like came and met the name. Like, I became, you know,
Get Live. And then Get Live was born.
Yeah, exactly. So I remember that day was Thanksgiving Eve. And I had to open. And one of the first things, one of the other DJs that was on, this dude, Rolly Rowe, who's like an OG. Because we all came from the same DJ crew. So basically, Fingers put me on his DJ crew.
What was the DJ crew name?
Intro Bass Production. So it was called IBP, right? Intro Bass Productions was kind of this thing where they did clubs, but they also did mobile shit. So the whole mobile DJ thing was a big thing.
Yeah.
Like doing parties in halls, sweet 16s, you know, weddings, you know, shit like that, throwing their own parties.
Yeah, I got you.
Setting up all the equipment and like empty spaces and just throwing their own jams.
Yeah.
So that was like the whole mobile DJ thing. So he put me down in that. That was like my first little, you know, like level.
That was your first platform.
Yeah. So I did this party and I remember Rolly came up to me. He was like, Evil D was on the party too. He was like, yo, you better not play no records that Evil D's gonna play.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, fuck, yo.
Right.
Right? But that was my first like lesson as a DJ. Like, yo, you're an opener. You gotta let the main dudes rock.
Yeah. Right, right.
So.
Did you play any records that he was gonna play?
Nah. I actually didn't even play on the floor that he was on. I actually got sent to the basement, which is the bigger floor.
Oh, shit.
And I had to open there because they didn't have a DJ in that room.
Got you.
So it ended up actually being better. So that's like my first gig was in like the main floor of Speed.
Whoa.
Like, and if you've been in the basement, like the shit's bugged. It's a big ass room. The fucking booth looked like a spaceship and shit. Like that was old school New York shit.
That was the first gig you played out?
Yeah.
Like the major gig.
Major, I'd say so. I mean, I think I did one like lounge, like little lounge party.
Right.
I probably got on the set for a little bit, but that was like a major like thing. That's why I say I started my DJ career like that day.
That's crazy. So, that's a huge platform to play on. Like Speed was like one of like the clubs at the time, right? Like
That was like a New York, you know, staple.
Right, right.
So it was crazy. And then from there, I was hyped.
Yeah.
I wanted to do more. I wanted
so I want to get live.
So I mean, you know, I was still in high school at the time. I wasn't even able to get in the club. I was 16.
Oh shit.
So I had to get a fake ID. So this was back in the day when on the New York State licenses they used to call it chalking the ID. Where they would take a red and a white pencil because the date was in red and then, you know, it was like a little white outline or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would change the date. So and then back then, you had clubs like Limelight, you had Exit, Webster Hall.
Yeah.
You know, these clubs had mad rooms and you just get mad lost in different rooms and shit. Yeah, right. It was always like some crazy techno rave shit on the main floor, fucking dudes fucking Guido fist pumping and all that shit.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro. Check out my biceps, bro.
Yeah, like what was the record back then? Zombie Nation.
Oh shit. Yeah.
That's when it first came out, yo.
Yeah.
Like Sandstorm, remember that shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I remember I had a homie, cause back in the day too, when you DJ'd, you pretty much had a niche. So that if you did hip hop, you were just playing hip hop.
Yeah.
Then there was a dude that just specifically did reggae.
Yeah.
And then there was a dude that specifically did house or something like that. So you never.
So that was like before open format.
Yeah, you only had your specific niche.
What was your niche?
I kind of broke that shit.
You did. All right.
Yeah, I was like, yo, fuck that, man. I'm going to play everything.
Yeah.
Get live created open format.
Get live created open format. Remember when you heard it, ladies and gentlemen. Ghost Lab Radio.
I love it.
No, I kind of like, because I saw that and I was like, man, I could play reggae too. Because honestly, reggae was what I first learned how to blend on. That's how I learned how to blend records was playing rhythms. Right. So, because, you know, it was the same rhythm, but different songs on the rhythm.
Yeah.
Right.
So you just go back and forth. And I was learning how to blend. I was perfecting my blending just by learning reggae, like mixing on reggae. Because it was easy to mix, like, you know, like Murder, She Wrote into like Bam Bam or something like that.
Right, it's easy.
And like that was like you'd learn how to count bars and stuff like that. So that was like good training into like getting into the other stuff. So I had already knew how to play reggae, like just off the bat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I started, and then because I was young and all the dudes that I got down with, like the IBP dudes, they were already older doing club shit. I was still going back to high school and then I would still do the high school parties and shit, like the high school house parties.
So you was rocking the clubs and doing the high school parties.
Yeah, I was doing that shit. Like we did a bunch of house parties. So I would get hired to do the house parties. So I'd have to play everything.
Yeah.
So I have to play the reggae and the hip hop. Because, you know, I was, you know.
So that kind of carried over into the clubs, right? That, so when that, you would book, when you would get booked at the clubs, you'd be like, yo, fuck this.
Yeah, I would just do it myself, you know, like, because I was young, I was still doing, I had my own fucking thing I had to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they already had their shit going on, and then I had to pay my own dues.
What was the reaction from the crowd when you would play different things, like?
My whole thing was just, yo, keep the fucking party going and keep them dancing.
Yeah.
And, like, don't let no, like, no downtime.
I hear you.
Like, if that was the whole, like, it would be a house, house party, yo, everyone's dubbing all night.
Yeah.
So you, most of the night, you play reggae.
Yeah.
And the reggae was hot at that time.
Word.
Like, that was when it was popping.
Hell yeah.
Like, you know, Everyone Falls in Love, Beanie Man, Who Am I? Like, you know, that was, like, that era.
Bon-ton.
Yeah, like, you know, all that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
when did you become a full-time DJ or like start noticing like, yo, I can make a career out of this?
Freshman year in college, I went away, right? I went away to school and then I was doing college parties out there. I got with a bunch of homies.
Where's out there?
In Connecticut.
Okay.
So I went to school in Hartford, Connecticut, right?
Okay.
There's nothing going on out there. It's like, I got with some homies like that were freshmen at the time too. And we just throw parties in like the multi-purpose rooms of the dorms and shit We like go around, grab mad speakers from mad different dorms and just fucking put that shit together and throw our own shit. And a couple of times like public safety would shut us down, you know, that whole shit.
Shout out to public safety.
So, and then at the same time, my boy Fat Fingers, he got this residency in the city. This spot called Remy Lounge, which he got through actually some Jersey DJs. These dudes, Fish and Swift. You know, you ever heard this dude, Ed Swift? They used to do mad, like, they used to do, like, shit like Club Drama.
Okay.
And, like, Fort Lee and, like.
Oh, I've been to Club Drama before. I got some stories for that.
Yeah, so Fingers got this gig at Remy Lounge downtown by World Trade. It was a Saturday night. And he was like, yo, you got to come rock with me. So I would be driving back from college to spend with him on Saturdays. So like freshman year, it was like, you know, we was trying to do our thing out there, but it was just like, man, I think I'm gonna just go back to New York and try to, you know, pursue this shit, like for real. And then we would go to the labels on Fridays because they would give out free vinyl and shit. Oh, so nice. We would do that whole vinyl hustle.
Yeah.
We'd meet people in the labels. So I was like, so I was really getting into it. You know, fucking contacts. Yo, what's your contact? This is when Two Ways was popping.
Right.
Yo, beat me your contact. Like, yo, that whole shit we get. Nice. And then I ended up transferring, going to school out in Long Island at Hofstra.
No doubt. Yeah.
And then, we had the fucking the residency.
Yeah,
They gave us a fucking Saturday night. So I was like, yo, I'm moving back.
Yeah.
And then.
So you would drive back from CT?
Yeah.
To go to the residency and drive back to go to school?
Yeah.
That's boss.
On the weekends.
That's the hustle.
Because I was just, you know, it was like an opportunity. I was like, and I, you know, the DJ thing, I probably knew I was going to do it probably maybe like high school.
Yeah.
Like college, yeah. I didn't really see, I mean, I could have done like other shit. I probably could have done been a doctor.
Yeah.
I probably could have done it like, cause I mean, I was I did my thing in school. I was mad smart and shit.
Yeah.
But I didn't really want to do all that.
That life wasn't calling you.
Yo, I went to fucking private school. I was like, yo, I don't ever want to wear a fucking shirt and tie ever again.
Yeah,
yo.
Yeah.
And then I was mad into DJing. So
when's the last time you worked at 9 to 5?
Never.
Never. Yeah. For all you real hustlers out there, I just wanted to get that across. All right.
Never, yeah. This is the 9 to 5. This is more than a 9 to 5.
I'll right, and so I want to get into that because, you know, I experienced this myself, and then also I talked to other DJs who decide to make that decision to become like full-time DJs, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, you don't realize the amount of work that goes into that. It's like, yo, I want a DJ, so I just want to, you know, I want to do that shit full-time because that shit is fun or whatever. Yeah. But you don't realize that. It's like, yo, you gotta book your gigs at that point. You gotta find gigs. You gotta maintain those gigs. Yeah. You gotta do your own marketing and promotion and all that type. So it's like, in a sense, you have to have an entrepreneur mind state, right? Because your name, your brand is your business, right?
Exactly.
So what what was your approach to that? What like your journey or what could you give to other DJs that are thinking about breaking out? Because you know,
did you ever work with like a manager or you ever had an agent?
I've had managers
when you started off.
Yeah, definitely.
How'd that go? I've actually worked with
a couple. So basically, the way I treat it is like, you know, it's like Jay-Z. It's like I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as a brand, like as a DJ, you're a brand and you're a company and you got to run it like a business. So, you know, if you think about any company that's out there, they got marketing, they got promotions, they got advertising, they got public relations, they got creative, they got this, they got that, accounting, all those departments, you got to do that shit yourself as a DJ. I mean, if you really want to succeed, you know, that's how you got to treat this shit, is like, you got to treat it like a business. You know, it's not, like for me, the whole shit about doing it for fun and like, you know, for girls, for money, like that kind of like went away real quick for me. Cause I'll tell you this one story. So when I went to college, I did this like study abroad program. I went to Italy and studied fucking Italian for like 3 weeks.
Ah, prego, right. Ragazzo, come fai? Right. Eh?
So, but I like, while I was gone, there was a fire at my mom's crib. And mad shit was damaged except my DJ shit.
No.
Wow.
So, it was like an omen to me.
It was a sign.
Yeah, it was a sign. So, I took, like, from that, I talk about it all the time. And I'll never forget it. So, that's when I was like, yo, like, there's another reason why, you know, you could have lost all this shit. All right. So I treat the DJing, you know, like I try to be as authentic with it as possible. And then at the same time, you know, you gotta, it's a business, you know, and that's when I started being more serious with it and like, you know, started like, you know, treating it real professional and stuff like that.
So for everyone who's listening, like you gotta realize that Get Live is a staple in New York City. Like, his parties, him DJing an event, like, that means a lot. Like, this guy is in demand. Mm-hmm. And this is New York City. This is one of the greatest cities in the world. This is not an easy thing to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, how important was throwing your own parties?
Oh, that's definitely... I've realized... I've actually have way more value to that now than back then. Back then, I was just focused on, like... doing the big clubs.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I wanna do like such and such club. And I thought that was like the it.
That was the cream of the crop, that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah. And then I realized it was about having your own party, because when you do your own party, you could play the music that you want.
Yeah.
When you do those big clubs, sometimes you stuck having to cater to like that kind of crowd. And it might not be what you want to do.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it might not be what you want to play as a DJ. Or if, you know, there's some DJs like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I played those parties. And to me, I just take it as a challenge.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, I want to be able to play any type of party and any type of music. But at the same time, for some other DJs, they just don't want to do that.
So elaborate on that a little bit as a DJ, right?
So
Go ahead.
All right. So say like you got New Year's Eve time, like New Year's Eve, okay, big DJ night of the year. You got the crazy Times Square gig, you know, but you're DJing for a bunch of tourists that is like, you know, you probably got to play like the lowest common denominator records.
Yeah.
Or you could do the ill niche party, the ill loft party, you know, with people that got good taste in music. You could play some fly shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. That's kind of like if you did your own party, like that's the, you know, how I look at it. Like if you did that, but you did it in a club, you know, you could play your own shit. You could curate your own music. You curate your own crowd.
Yeah.
And you know, this whole aesthetic. So now it's like, okay, now it's like you have the ability to throw your own party. Mm-hmm. So what do you want that party to be? So we just recently started a party called New York, New York.
Word.
So the concept came up as, I originally came up with the idea because I went to other cities and I saw each city had their own, like that one ill party. Like LA had their, well, LA got a bunch of parties like that. Mm-hmm. I felt like New York, it was just, the clubs. Like, I think there was, well, particularly downtown, downtown New York City, there was nobody, there was no parties going on really. So I wanted to do a party like that where, you know, I was able to play those parties in other cities. I wanted DJs to come through and be able to play a party in New York.
Yeah.
And it'd be a good crowd. Like, they could play what they want to play. You know, they could play some cool shit, but it's some New York shit at the same time. Like, you know, you coming to New York to play for New York.
Yeah.
So that was the whole idea behind it. And, you know, we've been doing that every Wednesday. There's, like, other parties that I do, too, that are kind of, like, the same idea. So, like, there's a reggae party that I do called Pepper Seed. So it's more, you know, reggae-based, you know, tropical music. Yeah. There's an R&B party that I do called Cuffin. So that's, you know, all R&B shit. There's this podcast that I do called Midnight Rockers. So everything is kind of branded, you know, and conceptualized and packaged.
Let's talk more about New York, New York. Where does it where does it happen? What were the guests, some of the guests that you brought through so far?
Well, we don't really talk about where it is.
Okay.
It's just like quote unquote secret.
Gotcha.
Well, not really word of mouth, we originally started it and we were like, we don't really want to promote it on social media. Mm. So we wanted to take it back to basics and just do it on some hand to hand shit. Like, so we came up with this idea of making a video invite and just letting that circulate amongst people. So we came up with the video invite, and if you got the video invite, you show it at the door, and that's how you could get in.
Wow.
So, you know, we kind of cultivated, you know, a community through doing that. You know what I'm saying? And we've had...
Talk your shit, get live.
I
want you to talk some shit right now,
because I have way too many...
The guests that have been through in that building have been some talking shit-worthy guests.
Let me go back.
Yeah, indeed.
So recently we had my homie from VA come through the other week, missing, young DJ producer out of VA, does mad VA parties. He's
what's his name?
Young dude, this dude missing. Missing, he just spun like last week. We had Oshkosh this past week.
Nice.
She's down with 2-9. Man, this is mad guest. PD Complex came through, rock the other week. We had King Marie from Chicago, Jerome Baker from DC,
wow,
Max Glazer. We had Yodcore, who's down with the whole Dubwise, out of Jamaica. Who else?
Clark Kent.
Oh. We had Stretch Armstrong.
Tell about the Raekwon night.
Oh yeah. Oh well, I'll get to that. Yeah. Let me do a DJ lineup first. who else do we have? Cypher.
Static.
Wow.
Static
Cast
Selector.
One.
Wow.
We gotta get you.
Yo, I need to get there, bro.
Yeah, make it happen.
Stadium
status. Yeah,
in
we gotta
building,
do like
the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, we got, you know, Jersey's like sixth borough of New York.
Hell,
like,
yeah,
you know?
straight up.
So, yeah, and then we recently did Raekwon's birthday. So he came through and it was a crazy night. I was on some shit that night, I guess. Like, I was just musically, I just started playing all Woo shit.
Nice.
So I started playing all Woo samples and like all this like left field shit, which is exactly why I started, the reason why I started the party, so I could do stuff like that. So it wasn't, it's not even about like, you know, all doing a party like to be ill, show off on the, you know, Snapchat. Nah. It's a musical thing.
It's an organic curation.
It's about the music.
Yeah.
Like, so I was playing like Woo samples. I was playing like Woo album cuts.
Yeah.
And Raekwon leans over to my boy Adriel, who's my partner in the party, and he's like, yo, tell him don't stop playing the obscure shit.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, Ray gave me the fucking green light. The vibe was crazy. And then it was actually the day after the Yams concert at MSG. So I started playing Yam shit, like ASAP shit for you know, for Yams. And then I segued into the original for Wavy Boom, which is Heaven and Hell off the L. Michaels Affair. And yo, Ray just grabbed the mic and he just started like going on this whole soliloquy, like on the mic, talking, like shouting out people, talking shit, yo, like on some Woo shit, like dropping mad crazy words, like yo.
That's crazy.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
They wild, yo.
And then And then I just dropped, I cut in Incarcerated Scarface. He's like, yo, I got some bars for you.
Yeah, yeah, he was in his bag, so you're like, I'm going to get a performance out of this shit.
Yo, so I dropped that shit, and he just went. Yeah. He just went in, Incarcerated Scarface. Then I just, after that, everyone's like, yeah, yeah. And then I just dropped Daytona 500.
Crazy.
Ooh. He did that shit. He started going in.
Legendary.
Yeah, and then the dude, I guess who's his road manager or something, he's like, yo, just one more. I dropped Cream. He did Cream, right? Nah. Everyone's like, yo, he started talking to shit. Yo, I'm out. Then I just dropped Can It Be So Simple. Yo, he kept going. Yo, he just kept going. Yo, it was crazy. Joey Badass was in the building. Static was in the building. Pro Era, Bodega Bam. So it was a good moment.
That's a legendary just night right there. Just
because the young kids. Because I say the crowd is mainly young, yeah. Like 25-year-old. Yeah. Like,
and that's beautiful that they go over there to almost like get educated.
That's what I wanted to do
about
with the party
music,
too.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I felt like we were losing touch with it.
Yes.
Mm. So that was another reason why I started the party is, you know, I felt like, well, me personally, I came up also, I was a B-boy. Yeah. You know, I came up with like, in the whole Ruckus era. Yeah, nice. So, you know, Four Elements, you know, yep. True school hip hop.
Yeah.
But, you know, I play all the fucking turn up shit.
Yeah.
I play all, because, you know, I've always, even though I was still growing up with that because of like, the DJs that I came up with during that time when I was first coming in, which was like Rolly, Fat Fingers, they're all battle DJs, turntablists, like true school hip hop dudes. Yeah. But at the same time, I was still going back to high school and everybody's listening to Jay-Z because that's what was hot at the time. And they were like anti-Jiggy, that's what they used to call it.
Yeah, right.
And but I was still listening to both. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And eventually it just came together later on in my career and I put it all together. But yeah, you know, it's all about the music, and that's why I started the party. And I felt like, you know, it's my responsibility to keep that going. Especially because, you know, I'm younger and, you know, and it's crazy to see now because now all the fashion from when I started is coming back.
Yeah.
Like everybody's rocking Bubble North Faces again and shit.
Tommy
Hilfiger. And it's ill to me. I'm like, it comes full circle and shit.
So some for a DJ who doesn't have like a booking agent or doesn't have a manager, like how do you elaborate on, you know, how to get those gigs, certain gigs like that? Plug yourself?
I was just hungry.
Yeah.
I was just out. I was just hungry. I was working with Fat Fingers at the same time too.
Mm-hmm.
So he was,
which had a step in the door. Like he had a foot in the door already. It was kind
of. Yeah. So Fat Fingers was actually ushered in a lot of that.
Okay.
So I was under Fat Fingers' wing. I was still under Fat Fingers' wing, and then I started doing my own parties.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say one of my first parties that I really did was this club in Chinatown called Big Six. This is like, man, like 05, like 04, 05. And a lot of like, this was at the beginning of sneakerhead, the whole sneakerhead craze. Yeah, okay. So I had a girl at the time that used to work at Nike Town, and she knew all the sneakerheads. She would bring them down and they would come to the parties. They would come to my spot and stuff. So I started doing, I did that for like a year. And then I started, you know, meeting other people, getting booked other places.
So you kind of just like utilizing your resources.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was that, definitely using a lot of the people. I mean, you know, when you're around it a lot, you know, eventually you meet people
mm-hmm.
and then people know that you DJ, especially, I mean, it was all about getting exposure, to be honest. Like you just needed to be exposed. And then when you get up there, kill it.
Yeah.
And then if you kill it, people fuck with you. And, you know, one thing leads to another.
Especially in New York. You can't play no bullshit in New York.
Oh, yeah. And it was different back then because it was vinyl. And if you were allowed on the set, you know, it was a big privilege.
Yeah.
Because they didn't just let anybody on the set. I remember I had a manager. One of my first managers was this OG New York City promoter, Patty Laurent. And she used to do, like, Club Cheetahs. She used to do all like those ill New York parties. And I remember one of the first parties that I did for her, one of the dudes came up after and was like, yo, you killed it. And he was like, you know how I killed it? Because they didn't take you off the set. I was like, wow. I was like, damn, yo. Yeah. So, it was like a thing where if you played one bad record back then, you get taken off.
Wow.
So you had to, you know, it was a definitely a little, you have to be really on point.
Sink or swim.
Yeah.
To build off the idea of, you know, what Suazo brought up about not having a manager, not having an agent, and the conversation that we had about creating a network of DJs in different cities who are throwing their own parties, and you mentioned about, you know, kind of plugging in, having this network of DJs and parties throughout the country where we can plug each other into.
Yeah.
Can you kind of elaborate on that idea?
And I always thought that DJs had to stick together. We don't got we need a union.
Right. 100%. Yo, I said the same shit.
I mean, you know, we don't got no 401k plan, things like that, you know, benefits, health insurance.
Yeah.
And these are the things that I've always thought about too, because, you know, you as an independent self-employed person, you got to pay for all that shit yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, just having that kind of camaraderie amongst each other, you know, we help each other.
Right.
Because you never know when you might need that help as a DJ. Because, you know, you a couple of years ago, Cool Herc got sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, the community helped them and stuff like that, you know. So
I mean, they better.
Yeah, yeah. That's Cool Herc. That's Cool Herc. You know what I'm saying?
They better.
So, and you know, as DJs, we're in the service industry. You know, we're providing a service for people. You don't know how many people that have come up to me and they were like, "Yo, we met at your party and we're about to get married. Can you DJ our party?"
that's crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So you know,
part of creating memories and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know, I look at it different. I guess. I mean, you know. Just getting on the set and DJing is the icing on the cake. There's a whole lot more to it.
What do you say to the cat who you've had the privilege of, you know, getting booked in these places, spinning in different cities? What do you say to the cat who's struggling to get there, right? Who wants to get there, who has the potential to be there, but maybe doesn't know how to catapult themselves to that platform?
You gotta, I mean, it's like doing anything. Like, it's like if you're a basketball player. I kind of try to relate everything to basketball because that's why it started for me.
You're a baller. I love you already. You're a baller.
So, you know, it's like how bad you want it. How's your hustle? What's your hustle game? Like, you look at a cat like Isaiah Thomas on the Celtics. He's the smallest player, but he got that heart.
Yeah.
I love this guy.
So that's, you know, that's how I treated the DJing. It's, you know, like everyone will be like, yo, how can you DJ 6 hours the whole night by yourself? I'm like, I take it as a challenge. That's to me, that's me working on my craft.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And you know, that's the fun part. Like, that's the challenge, and like, that's why I like DJing, is to be able to go somewhere, not know people, and rock them.
And rock it.
Yeah. And then they're just like, and I'm like, oh shit, like, that's hot. Like, I like it. That makes it new for me every time.
Yeah.
So
How do you do these? I see you working with a lot of different corporations and brands.
Yeah.
Urban Outfitters, Nike. You recently did some Kyrie Irving events. You worked with Scion in the past.
Yeah.
How do those gigs come up?
I mean, yeah, you know, definitely through the previous gigs that I've had and stuff. So, you know, just meeting people, you know, people reaching out, and then, like you mentioned, like, you know, maintaining relationship. So one of the other things that I learned, I remember I was watching BET in the basement, and they had Kid Capri getting interviewed, and he was like, a lot of the game is relationships. It's maintaining your relationships. And I picked up on that, like, quick, you know, like, I was like, oh, man, like, that's a gem right there. So, you know, that's with any business, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, who's the plug? Oh, yo, you know, like, and you build a relationship with the plug or something like that. You know, any business is like that, you know, and it's a business relationship. You maintain business relationships, and it's really treating yourself like a company. You know, you got to have your network, you know, you know, your public relations, and, you know.
Yeah. Recently I saw you did an Asia tour.
Yeah.
What countries have you played?
Well, I went to Japan to spin.
I spun
a couple of gigs out there.
Okay.
I spun out in Sendai, I spun out in Yokohama, and in Tokyo. I spun at Club Harlem, which is like a legendary hip hop club out there. It's like, you know, like the clubs. No, well, it's like the tunnel out there.
Okay.
I'd say it's like the tunnel.
Yeah.
It's been open 15 years, and I got to play there.
Was that your first time?
That was my second time. Actually.
Second time playing.
I spun there first in 2012.
Okay.
I went out there. And then this is my second time. First time in the other cities though. Well, actually no, second time in Yokohama. I played there last year.
How do you prepare for those gigs and like what's your approach?
I don't even know what I'm gonna play until I get up there. Okay. That's what I do every night. I won the Red Bull Freestyle 2011. I won the Brooklyn one, and I remember I got booked for the joint, and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna make a set. The day before the battle, I'm like, yo, I don't got a set. Right? So I just like, oh man, what am I gonna do? I literally whipped it up like the afternoon before. I practiced it that morning, and then in the battle, I went on first.
Wow.
And I was like, yo, I didn't even go to sound check. I was like, yo, let's just go. Let's just get this over with. Yeah. And I went on, fucking did my routine, smashed it, and then I won.
That's wow.
So, and I literally didn't really think. I didn't think about it till like the night before.
You were probably one of them smart ass kids that never studied for tests either, right? You just came in, passed them shit.
I sat next to him in class.
Right, yeah.
Yo, you did the homework?
Nah.
Actually, yeah. I kind of was a dude that like let everybody copy their homework from.
I was just
cool with everybody. I was just like, yo, man, whatever. It's your loss. You're
like,
don't
worry.
It.
I ain't going to be working for nobody anyway, man. So you good.
That's so good. But like who books those gigs? How do you get booked in Japan?
Well, actually,
do you reach out or do they reach out to you?
I actually been working with this streetwear brand called Privilege.
Okay.
So this was through Privilege. They had brought me out there. So we've been working together for like maybe the last 2 years, and we've been doing a lot of stuff together, and they actually sponsor New York now.
Right.
And they are producing our clothing, awesome. Our merch.
Nice,
which
nice.
We dropped the hoodies on the website, the New York. Well, they got sold out already.
Are you gonna restock?
We'll probably do a restock. Because we got a couple of things in the works. Can't really say it right now.
Okay.
What's
the website? Where can you buy it?
It's privilegenyc.com, but they do it like, you know, the cool way. PVLGNYC.com.
Okay. Gotcha. Nice. All right. Awesome. What else we got for the man? Cause I want to ask him, like, what's the craziest party you ever DJ? What's the craziest party like?
There's a couple. All right, one of them.
Start at the lowest ranked one.
I'll do one of them that sticks out of my mind real quick. Uh-huh. So I met this dude Dwight Freeney from the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
So I did this. Remember Guest House and Home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I remember one night I got called in to Guest House because they needed a DJ. It was a Sunday night and. So I got called in, and I remember I used to do this club Taj on Saturday nights. I did it for 9 years, which is like a crazy amount of time.
Yeah.
A four residency in New York City. And he was there. He was there the night before, and then he remembered me.
Yeah.
And he was like, his boy, he said my boy, he's like, yo, let me get your info. Fucking Freeney fucks with you. He wants you to do his parties and shit. So I was like, all right, whatever. So I remember it was Super Bowl. It was one Super Bowl in Tampa. He was like, yo, I got this celebrity pool tournament. Yo, come out to Tampa and spin. So it was me and Clue. So I'm DJing, and there's mad athletes there. Like, Marshall Faulk is there, Jabba Chamberlain.
Yeah.
A couple of the Colts players. And then, all of a sudden, I see mad people walking in. Like, a whole group of people. And then, take in mind, like, to the right of the DJ booth, there's this VIP section, and there's just, like, 16 model chicks just standing. So somebody's coming. Somebody's coming through, and it's somebody important. So I'm DJing, and I see this big crowd walking through across the dance floor, and it's fucking Michael Jordan.
Oh,
because Freeney was Team Jordan.
Yeah.
So he walks in. It's him, a bunch of these other people. I don't know who. I was like photographers and stuff. Yeah. Him, George Daniels, like the OG Chicago Stephen dude, like two like OG Chicago. Pimp looking dudes. They look like some Chicago
like
pimp dudes.
Don Magic One.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then and then Charles Oakley.
Yo.
So that's Jordan's entourage.
Shout out to Charles Oakley, my boy. Yo.
So I was like, yo, this is bugged out, right? And I'm like there's like a whole buffet. Like Clue gets on. I'm done DJing and like I see Charles Oakley just sitting at a table eating by himself. Like it was just like some regular shit to them. But I was like, yo, this is crazy.
And that's Wow, that's crazy celebrity. Yeah,
and then he actually flew me out to Indianapolis a couple of times. Like, I've been to his crib. Like,
yeah,
he was like, we was at his crib. He had like a barbecue, like
chilling.
Beginning of the season and shit. Yeah, he rented out Dave and Buster's and brought his all his friends there. I had the DJ for them. It was like their own little private thing.
Yo, that's mentioned insane. Something about how you got. Right, so you have a bunch of, you throw different parties, right?
Yeah.
New York was curated to be very organic, right? But you also do different parties, right?
Yeah.
But you want to do kind of like the freestyle thing, the open format where you could play all of this music. Why not conduct all of that under New York, New York, as opposed to having these separate branches?
I think, because I kind of I want it to be distinct.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want kind of, I mean, there's going to be some overlap, obviously, because I'd say New York is more general.
Okay.
And then the other ones are more niche, like the more specific. But it's still, it's general, but it's kind of specific at the same time because we keep it New York. But it's more of just a New York vibe.
All right.
Pretty much.
You still don't want to tell the people where they can go find this party?
I mean, you know, hit me up.
If you reconsider, I'm just saying, or let them know where they can find you at.
How about this? If you heard about it, you know, you could hit me up on my Instagram, you know.
Where's that?
At DJ Get Live.
Okay.
And, you know, whatever, hit me on a DM. I'll tell you where it's at. I'll send you the invite, and we be Gucci.
Ladies, hop and Get Live's DM. Tell them I sent you.
All right, so throughout your whole career, we talked about a whole bunch of different parties, different crowds you've played for. How do you approach playing for yourself and playing for the crowd?
There's a fine line.
Right.
I mean, I usually play for myself at the beginning of the night, I'd say. Okay. I usually try to set the vibe to fit the aesthetic of where I'm at. And then I usually push it up until I get that first request. Once I get that first request, I'm like, all right, now they want to get ready. They're ready to get started. So that's when I'm like, all right, I start catering to the crowd a little bit more. Yeah. But then, you know, for me to keep my sanity, I got to keep it interesting and play, like, you know, make it look, be a little creative with it.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I try to, you know, make it fun for myself at the same time.
How do you feel about requests?
That was my next question.
I don't really care for them. Like, actually, I've gotten really great requests.
Yeah.
I've learned records, and then next thing you know, they've popped off. So I don't really front on requests.
Word.
So I could name a bunch of records, like, that I've gotten requested for, and then I ain't hear about it, and then next thing you know, and this is, like, even before radio.
Yeah.
Like, next thing you know, they pop off. Like, that Charlie Black record.
Yeah.
I remember I got that as a request, and then next thing you know, it popped off.
All right.
You know, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like having an ear to the crowd in a way.
I hear you.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, you kind of gauge in like the audience taste and stuff like that.
Do you ever have your like fuck you moments? Like, nah, I don't want to. I'm gonna play what I want.
I definitely had a crazy moment like that.
Fuck yeah, I'm gonna play what I want.
I did this club. Oh man, what was it called? It's like on 53rd and off of Lexicon. I think it was called. It was like mid 2000s or something like that, and it was like a rainy ass night, and there was a birthday party there, and this girl came up and was like, "Can you play Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up?" Right? So
the Rick roll?
So I always have my boys with me to, like, you know, be my filter.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
To like stop them. And
this one
girl
got through.
Would not stop. And she was so fucked up, she started crying. She started, what? She was wilding out. And I was just like, but this was like, you remember when like open format was like doing that shit?
Yeah,
like
80s mashups.
Was big. Yeah, mashup. It was that era, yo. And I was just like, nah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it depends. Cause like, so I've had those moments where I'm playing those clubs and I don't really got that pull like that.
Right.
So it's like, yo, I don't want to risk playing a record. And then I'm taking the risk. It don't matter that the people that making the request.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they say bye. Some people that make requests, they don't even hear the song. Yeah. They come back, they make the same request. I'm like, yo, I played it already.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that like, happens all the
you
time.
You played it? I didn't hear it. Play it again. Like, yo, you serious? Like,
yo, yeah, they don't care. They just want to hear it again.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a great discovery song, like through a request that changed my life.
What's that?
Yo, El Teke Teke.
Oh, yeah, yo,
El Teke Teke. Yo, somebody came up to me like, yo, you got El Teke Teke? I was like, I don't. They're like, yo, this song is killing it right now. He's like, Camilo's playing everything. You need this shit.
Who said that? A Dominican cat? It was a little brown boy that came up to you, right?
But yo, because I didn't even know Dembo like that. I wasn't playing Dembo at that moment. Yo, El Teke Teke.
I love the way he says Dembo, Dembo.
Yeah, I don't. Because I don't have the accent. Yeah. Is that why?
That's all right. Continue your story.
Yeah, Spanish people, they always want to shit on you when you don't have the accent. You know.
Tell us more.
Do you expect me to have an accent?
I would like you to have an accent.
Right, I'm gonna work on it.
Go ahead. You discover Teke Teke, and then you identified as a Dominican man.
I identify as I'm Dominican now. Okay. Yeah. It changed my life forever. Dominican, like Dembo is.
What happened the first time you played Teke Teke?
Oh shit. All them girls went wild.
All the girls went wild.
All them girls went wild, right?
So and this is how
they were not ready for that white boy to drop the El Teke Teke. Changed my life forever.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying?
You had free chimneys at the end of the night. Dominicans was loving you right there.
Yo, son.
So, like, right? I mean, so now, all right, my idea of being selfish as a DJ, where I could play my own stuff, I just started a party for it.
Right.
So, it was like, I wanted to play house.
Yeah.
I started a party for it called After Hours.
Word.
You know, so that's pretty much how I just handle that.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, so and that way, you know, it's I don't get burnt out.
Word.
You know, I don't get just have to keep playing the same set every party.
Yeah.
You know, it allows room for creativity, for more creativity and, you know, stuff like that.
You better talk to this nigga because he be playing the same shit Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yo, I'm never booking you for a gig ever,
I'm just saying, yo.
That money I put in your pocket is done.
Do you want real friends or do you want what? You want me to, man.
But don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, every DJ has their own little go-to skit.
It's like their trademark.
It's like, yo, I do this mix and I'm known for this. And, you know, that's the... You need that.
You got to have those go-to like records that are going to hit every time.
That's my trademark shit.
And that's your trademark. That's your style.
Yeah, I only do that. So, yes, you know, granted, every DJ has that, so they're going to do that.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
You're done,
he put
bro.
It in a much different light for me. I take it back.
Don't worry.
Is it too late to do that?
No, it is too late.
It's too late.
You're a bedroom DJ. Right? So play.
Let me tell you something, yo. Yeah. Let me be you. You copped out on me last night. You didn't want to go to R&B party.
Anyway, yo, Get Live needs to get out of here because you're about to head over to Miss Wong's and shut shit down like he always does. Tell everyone where they can find you on social.
Yeah.
And
once again, it's at DJ Get Live on Instagram, Twitter. I'm in the midst of redoing my website, so just go to my Instagram.
Instagram?
Yeah.
At DJ Get Live.
At DJ Get Live.
Get Live. That's GETLIVE for all you illiterates.
That's what's up, man. That ends episode 4, Ghost Live Radio. I'm Stadium Saz. That's my boy Swazo.
He is I and I am him. Get Live.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you guys.
My man.
Thank you for coming through, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Much love. Yo, let's take another shot.
Yeah. Get that JMO.
Wow.
Cheers.
We out. Let's do one more.